This is HPR episode 2437 entitled Interface Zero Playthrough Part 3 and is part of the series Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 42 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Klaatu, Lobath, and Thadge play the Interface Zero RPG.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everyone, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Klaatu, and this is Interface Zero Playthrough Episode 3. Today I have with me Lobath.
Hey everybody.
And Taj.
What's good, everybody?
Before we get started, I wanted to mention to everyone that yes, I've got another digital starter kit for role-playing games available. All you have to do is email me. If you're the first one to email me upon hearing this episode, you will get a voucher to go to paizo.com and download, among other things, the beginner box, the digital beginner box. So it doesn't take up any room on your shelf, but it has a bunch of great content, including the Hero's Handbook, which essentially just ignores probably 80% of the Dungeons & Dragons Pathfinder universe and just culls it down into something that's approachable for a beginner. So if you've never built a character for an RPG before and you've wanted to do that, then you can follow this step-by-step instruction in the first chapter of the Hero's Handbook, and it tells you exactly how to create a character. I mean, it labels the character sheet for you with big yellow numbers, like big numbers in a yellow circle, and it says, roll this many die, take the number from that and put it into this blank. You know, I mean, it tells you exactly what you need to do. It leaves you without any question on the process of building a character. More importantly, it tells you why things work a certain way. So rather than just kind of looking at pre-generated characters or having your friend tell you, oh, put this number there, this tells you exactly why you're getting certain numbers into your character sheet based on the choices that you've made. And the choices, they actually limit as well. So rather than having to look at 99 different races and 150 different classes, you have three races. You can be a human, a dwarf, or an elf. You have four classes. You can be a rogue, a cleric, a fighter, or a wizard. And so with that limited choice, it becomes a lot easier, I think, for a newcomer to get started. So I highly recommend this book. And it's not just me saying that the layout of the book is good. It is. It's great. It's got nice, big, colorful boxes with little icons to help you visually just kind of like, oh, okay, this is when I'm rolling a D6. Okay, I got that. There's a picture right there. It tells you. But it's also something that I've used to introduce people to this. Just actually last night, I was with two friends, and one of them had never played an RPG before and was really curious. The other had played an RPG before, but had never built a character. So I took them through the character creation process by showing them the Hero's Handbook, and we built characters, and then we ran through an old school Dungeons & Dragons adventure called Cave of Shadows. Not a terribly great adventure, but that's the great thing about RPG. You can make pretty standard kind of like, oh, look, it's a crawl through a cave into something completely different and unique because it always changes. So we had a great time, and it was all based on this very limited sort of scope of the beginner box from Paizo and the Pathfinder world. So I'm recommending it strongly because I really truly believe it's a great little book. You can get it for free, and it's open game license. What's not to like? Shoot me an email. I'll give you this thing. And it comes with a lot of other stuff too, like the Game Master's Guide for it within the beginner box anyway, and then the whole Pathfinder rule book, and I think a couple of other things like some digital comics or something. But yeah, it's worth an email if you're into this sort of stuff. Okay, so now let's get started with the story. Where are we today?
Let's see.
You guys had gotten in and out of Peter's apartment, and you are now on your way back with a data dump back to your hideout in the Cromwell District. So the Cromwell District is a little bit rough, but not too rough. It's a safe place. Your fixer has hooked you up with a little bit of a safe house. It's tricked out with all the technology that you would need for investigating all the different things that you've investigated in order to make the extra cash that you guys, or extra crypto dollars that you guys are after. It is well disguised from the outside. It appears, for all intents and purposes, as a completely broken down building, but once you get inside, the first hallway that you go into is similarly demolished, but the door at the end of the hall, you open that, step into a smaller room, close the door behind you, open the next door in the privacy of this small area, and sure enough, it is a well-guarded and high-tech workspace that you can do whatever you need to do. So although the exterior is quite run down, the interior is quite well kitted out and not in disrepair at all. It's got a bunch of money thrown into it. What would you like to do first?
I think I'm going to call in my contact, Rickard Stone, the local cop, and see if we can get some more information about the penthouse that we were in and Peter himself.
Good idea. Taj, Sid, is there anything that you need to do before we go into that?
Not that I can think of. As far as the data dump, until his contact gets here, I'll go in the corner and meditate and maybe kind of work on my interfaces between my cybernetics just to kind of tune everything up in case we get hands-on again.
Labath, are you just going to call him you're not going to call him physically in, right? How do you guys communicate, do you think?
That's a good question. I think probably would actually give him a phone call. Just chat him up a little bit.
So he answers, and he probably knows that it's you because he's probably got access to that kind of information, or else you guys have a private number.
We have what the game calls a minor relationship. So we have worked together before. He knows me and trust me a little bit.
Cool.
I will then, let's see, how does this contact thing work? I forgot to check that out before we started here.
Yeah, so the way that it'll work is depending on what you're asking him to do, I will roll for him to see, and there's a different threshold depending on your relationship. So if you've got a minor relationship, it'll be harder to get something totally illegal done, but normal information probably won't be a problem.
Okay. Let's see, look for any record for Peter and any records of him recently that have come up specifically. And then I'd also like to know more about the penthouse we were at, like who actually owns it, if it's his, and who maybe put those guards there. I don't know if he'd have any information on the guards themselves, but yeah, just about Peter and then the apartment.
He answers and he says,
Chai Wei, long time no talk. What can I do for you?
Hey, Rickard, I've been I'm on a case and I'm looking for some information. I need to know who a property is registered to, and I'll drop the address. And then I need some information about Peter, and I can't remember Peter's last name off the top of my head, but
I don't believe you guys ever asked about Peter's last name, to be honest.
Oh, how do we not know his last name? Right, and then any information about the occupant who is there? I think his name was Peter, and hopefully he can find out more information based on that.
Okay, so why don't you make me a diplomacy check?
Okay, all right, I got a 12, and my diplomacy skill is 11, so 23.
Okay, so that's super good for what you're asking. So
with the DC, yeah, hopefully that'll be good enough. It's not super, I'm not asking him anything life-threatening or job-threatening, so.
This is probably information that he's not supposed to give out to the public, but then again, I mean, who's going to know? It's not that big of a deal. So yeah, he types some stuff into his computer, does a little bit of research while you're with him on the phone, and he says,
yeah. Building 2019 in the Zhejiang district. It's registered to somebody named Peter Nazari. That who you thought it would be?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It looks like Peter's been renting that property for about 4 years. He still is. What else you looking for?
Let's see. I was wondering if there was any, if you had access to any more recent information on him. Let's see. How would he know that? Maybe any associated vehicles with him that he has, or any sort of ID checkpoints that he's been through lately.
He does a little bit more searching, and he says,
doesn't look like there's a vehicle registered to him, but frankly, Cha Wei, for people like him, he probably doesn't need a vehicle. He's probably got people to drive him around, so that's really not unusual. I don't really see him on our grid, so to speak. He doesn't seem to be very active. I don't see much activity. Could be that he just goes from home to work. I see he works at Global Omnium Digital, and I know that that place is pretty self-sustaining. He might have everything he needs taken care of for him right there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. I guess I will ask him then if he knows. We didn't get any ID from those guys, did from the guys at the penthouse, did we?
I don't think so.
No. So I wouldn't know what to ask him there. I guess, yeah, I don't have anything else to ask him right now, I guess.
Don't hesitate to call if you need anything else. You've been good to us, so I have no problem helping you out.
Sounds good, and let me know if you need any help with anything, too.
Stay safe out there.
Okay, so...
All right, well, I get off the phone and say that was kind of a bust. But let's take a look at this data.
You pop the data into one of your sandboxes, to one of the sort of virtualized environments. And when you put it in to the virtualized machine, you can look at all the data. And it's got a couple of different things in it. So there's a stash of what probably are emails because of the file format. They're probably a series of emails. There's a stash of photographs and documents. And then there's yet another stash of emails. What would you like to look at first?
Let's go through the photos and videos.
Okay.
Yeah, try to pick out a couple of the most recent ones and see what's on there.
Okay, so they all date back about a year. There's nothing really more recent than a year, but okay. The photographs are of a man, and he's pretty he's consistent throughout all the photos. So you're probably thinking that might be Peter. Might not be, but he does seem to be a subject in all the photographs. There are a variety of photographs, so they're taken. Some are you know, like selfie style. Some are what you would, you know, from long distance, almost like maybe he wasn't aware that the picture was being taken. Inevitably, there are women with him. The girl with him most often is an Asian girl, lady, I should say, and they seem to be pretty friendly. That's mostly what it is photos of him and some woman, and typically it's this particular woman, this one Asian woman.
Okay, can I do a search and see if I can find out who the lady is? You know, run some facial recognition or something like that.
Yeah, give me a, let's look at what kind of research role that would be. Hang on, let me look around a little bit.
Otherwise, I could try to call that back in and see if Rickard would be able to do that for me too.
Yeah, let's do that, because there's not a whole lot about like research in this hacking system. So yeah.
All right, sounds good. I will crop one of the pictures of her out, like a, you know, nice.
Yeah, just like a driver's license style, sort of like, yep. This is her face. Yeah.
Yep, and then send it off to Rickard and be like, hey, do you know, can you give me an ID on who this is? It's related to Peter, so just see if there's any information on her in your systems.
Yeah, and he comes back and almost, not instantly, but within, you know, that one sitting, he says...
Oh, that's Tina Tomasu. She's a Bioroid. Basic pleasure model. She's been in and out of our system for one thing or another, but she has some powerful sponsors, so we can never keep her in for anything. So she's living pretty well.
Any information on where she's working recently or where she may be staying?
Sure. It's 134 okay. Marina Street in the Dolphiné district.
All right. That might be good to check out later if we don't have anything else. All right. We'll go back to the video. You said there was some videos as well. Anything in particular on there? Or
it's just more footage of Peter and who you now know is Tina, and it's just it ranges from just a day out having fun to sexy videos of them doing sexy things. It's okay. Yeah.
All right.
And I guess within those videos you would hear him refer to her as Tina, and she would be referring to him as Peter. So the identities you would feel are confirmed.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's check out the. One of the email troves, then the first one, I guess.
Yeah, the first email stash is a bunch of stuff between a Tina and Peter, and they're just they don't say too much. It's just about meeting times and meeting places.
Any common meeting place for the two of them?
She usually comes to his place, but he's okay. Been over yeah, at her is. Place, and yeah.
All right, so he does know where she lives too. All right, so that would be a good place to check out. And the second email. Troves.
So the second email stash is, it appears to be from Elizabeth Ravadun, who had hired you in the beginning.
Our patron, yeah.
And she's talking with someone named Yazid. Yazid Faruna, and it appears that he is employed at Global Omnium Digital as well, so he's one of her employees. And it's an email thread about her instructing him to go get Peter's emails from the internal system, because Yazid works in IT. So the first email reads, Yazid, from Elizabeth to Yazid. The first one reads, Yazid, I would like for you to commence the operation you and I discussed in our meeting last Wednesday. As I told you in the meeting, this needs to be handled with the utmost care. I trust you understand what I mean, and please know that I have an outside consultant monitoring your work to ensure you've left the system tidy. Please report to me as soon as you see results. The next email from Yazid to Elizabeth says, Ms. Ravadun, I understand and will start work on this immediately. Systems will remain unaffected, and I'll bring you whatever I find without delay. Thank you for choosing me for this important work. I won't let you down. The next email is from Elizabeth to Yazid. The files you dropped off to me are marvelously helpful. This is exactly the information I needed. You've earned a bonus for this work, but I don't feel comfortable giving you a reward of this nature here in my office. Will you meet me in the corporate apartments of Gengrove Pharmaceuticals in 1 week at 9 o'clock p.m.?
When was that date from the email? Assuming it's in the past.
That email is dated 6 days ago, meaning that they're going to meet tomorrow night at 9 p.m. at the Gengrove Pharmaceuticals apartments.
Okay. Do we have the address for that too? And what district is that in?
You do have the address for that. It is in the Gengrove district.
All right. So that'll be tomorrow night that we would be able to catch them.
Yep.
All right. I guess I'll come out of the space and get back with Sid and let him know I found a couple leads.
Cool.
About Tina. Looks like Peter and Tina have been together for a while, so maybe he's hanging out with her. I think we should go check out that place.
Definitely. It seems like a place to at least start.
Yazid 1 is going to be a little bit more of a stealth mission, so I think I might be a little better at that. I guess I don't know. It's really up to you if you'd like to split up and divide and conquer.
The Yazid and Elizabeth, there's going to be at least, we know, two people, possibly more. She, I'm sure, is going to have some sort of security with her, being kind of high level in corporate. If Peter's hanging out, it might just be him and Tina. So that might be something we take into account before we make a decision.
Which one would you rather do?
I'm pretty sure you have a better stealth than me, so that does seem like the better call for you to go to the Elizabeth meeting.
Yeah.
And I'll just go see if we can find Peter. If we do, how do we want to handle that? Do we want to kind of bring him back to us, or just kind of tail him and find out what's going on?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think we should probably let him know we're looking for him. And maybe you guys can just hang out there or take him, see if he would want to come back to the hideout, so we can figure out what's going on.
That's cool. I kind of feel it out as I get there and see what I think is going to work the best, and go from there.
All right. Okay, cool. So Sid to Tina and Chaiwei to Gengrove. Is that correct?
Yep, that sounds right.
Okay, let's start with, I guess, the way that the time would fall would be you'd probably go to Tina first, because the other meeting isn't until a little bit later. So, Sid, the Dalfa Ray district is a fairly high-rent little district. Maybe a really, really well-known and popular and well-to-do Bioroid pleasure model would be able to afford it, but you know that probably she's being, her rent is probably being paid by one of her clients. And it's a very nice district. It's got a man-made lake behind all of the houses, which people tend to use for recreation. And it's daylight 24/7 there. They never turn off the artificial lights. So it's daylight, and there are always artificial birds chirping. It's supposed to be the brightest and happiest place on the planet. So it's
Neo.
It's a happy.
It's Neo Disney.
That's exactly what I was about
to
say.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It is exactly that. So how are you? What's your plan of approach? It is a gated community, so you will have to go through the front gate and sign in and everything, but or that's certainly the obvious way in. What's your any ideas on how you want to approach this?
Would I have problems going through the main gate? Is it fairly exclusive, or is it something that I could just walk through and not really raise any eyebrows?
There is a security robot there, but it's like the gate is open, so you looking at it, you get the impression that it's probably just a sign-in sort of situation where you have to identify that you are going in, but it doesn't. You wouldn't guess from looking at it that it's going to cause problems.
Okay, let's try the easy way. I'll go up and sign in. I think I will try to use a fake name, just to maybe not be too conspicuous as who I am.
Do you have fake ID on you or anything?
I don't.
Okay. You still want to sign in?
Yeah, let's do it. I might have to bluff my way out of it, but we'll see.
Okay. You approach the gate, and there is a security robot there, so he says, you know, sort of, he lights up once you approach and turns to you and says,
"Identify yourself."
So I feed him, I need to come up with a fake name really quick. I tell him that my name is Mark Schwab.
Mark Schwab.
And he does some kind of internal chat, and he doesn't find a Mark Schwab in the history of visitors. So he says,
"Mark Schwab, please position yourself for a photograph."
Okay. I give him the biggest, cheesiest grin I can.
And he takes your picture, and he logs it away.
"Enjoy your stay at Delta Ray."
Thank you, kind robot, sir.
Cool. So you walk through the gates. You know from the information that Chai Wei provided you the address of Tina's house. So after a little bit of wandering around, you come across her home. And it is like everything else in Dolphiray. It's manicured and neat and absolutely fake. It's got astroturf in the front so that it's always green and never overgrown, and there's flowers and there's a white picket fence. I mean, it's the whole nine yards. And the door is not open, but the gate is open. The door is in front of you.
You said there's a lake around the back that kind of goes all around all these houses?
Most of the houses are the idea is that everyone gets a lakefront property. So all the houses are kind of along one side of the street, and yeah, their backyards all end in lake.
Okay, instead of going straight to the front door, I think I'm gonna try to go in the gate, and if I can, circle around back towards the lake just to see if I can get any kind of view inside the house from the back, before kind of taking any action to go in.
Okay, cool. So you step through the front gate and then go around the side of the house, And yeah, the windows, at least along this side, are all, the blinds are drawn, the curtains are drawn, whatever. So you can't really see in through that way. But once you circle around out behind the house, the rear doors are sliding glass doors that go out onto a little a deck. So they're not, the blinds are not drawn there. So you see a person. I mean, I'm assuming you're being somewhat stealthy.
Yeah, I'm trying to be as stealthy as I can while not acting weird to where I kind of look out of place. I mean, I'm obviously out of place, but if somebody was walking along the lake, they wouldn't think that I didn't belong there.
Do you have any stealth at all?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you give me a stealth roll just to see what you do?
15.
15, okay. So you... yeah, you kind of casually glance towards the sliding glass doors, and you see a woman sitting at the kitchen counter, which is just sort of perpendicular to the sliding glass doors, and she's smoking a cigarette and drinking some drink. From what you see, she appears to be alone, and it is the woman in the photographs, which I'm assuming Chai Wei would have shown you.
Okay, so I at least know she's in the building. I guess... let's go back around the front and let's knock on the door. So you just try to go the easy direct route.
Cool. Okay. You knock on the door, and there's a little bit of a delay, not much. And she comes to the door, and so you're wearing your Cybermonk outfit again, right? That's what you wear.
Yeah. I'm not very into other clothes. So pretty much just looking like a Cybermonk at this point.
Yeah. So she looks at you, and the confusion on her face so she hesitates a little bit, and then she kind of relaxes and leans in the doorway and takes a drag off of her cigarette and says, "Well, you're not with security, So who are you with?
I tell her I'm an independent contractor, and I'm really not looking for her, and she's not in any kind of trouble. But we're trying to find, let me see, I wrote down the name, Peter Nazar. If she knows, we know that she has been with him in the past. We have some intelligence on that. We're just trying to find him, mostly a protection reason at this point. We want to make sure that he's safe and he's secure. And that you're the only contact we know that has had any interaction with him. So we thought we would approach you first.
She takes another drag off the cigarette and says, so you're working for Elizabeth?
That's not information that I'm privy to. I'm working for a second party.
Oh, I wasn't asking. She says, come on in. And she steps away from the door, and she sort of leads you inside.
Okay, I follow her in.
She sort of motions towards her little bar and says, help yourself to a drink if you want.
I say thank you, but because of my tenets, I actually don't consume alcohol, so I'm fine the way I am, thank you.
She sort of raises an eyebrow and sort of laughs a little bit and says, okay, suit yourself. She says, yeah, I know Peter Nazari.
When was the last time you had seen him?
Why do you need to know?
Like I said before, we're trying to find him in order to offer some protection to him. We think that there may be some sort of threat against his life at this point.
Why do you think he needs your protection?
I don't think. I'm being paid to do a job, and so I'm just here to do that job.
Well, if you're being paid by Elizabeth, you're not being paid to protect Peter.
Like I said, I just get a check. I'm not sure who I'm working for. I'm just given a mission and told to do it.
All right, let's see. Now, do you have a bluff rating at all? Do you have anything in bluffing or even just a flat-out charisma?
No, I've got neither. So this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I feel like she's seeing through that. Let me look at your character sheet really quick.
Yeah, usually that would be like a sense motive versus bluff check.
Yeah, okay. You literally do. I see. I'm looking at your character sheet now. You literally do have zero in bluff. Okay.
Diplomacy is not my strong suit.
Yep. Okay, let me see what she's up to. Hold on. Well, go ahead and give me a charisma roll.
No joke, 20.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're charismatic today. Natural 20? Yeah, it must have been a natural 20 because there's no modifier.
Yep, natural 20.
Nice. Okay. Okay, so she studies you and sort of looks at you and sees that you are, after all, a monk. You won't even touch drink. It seems unlikely that you'd be lying to her. So she says, take a seat. And she goes and sits down in the lounge on a sofa in the lounge.
Okay, I go and make myself comfortable right across from her.
And she gets right back up and goes to the sliding glass doors, which were open. The blinds were open, so she closes the curtain there, and she looks around the house, you know, in the immediate area to see if there's any other open windows or anything like that. And she seems fairly confident now. So she comes back and she sits down again, really close to you, possibly slightly uncomfortably close for you. I'm not sure what your personal space boundaries are, but she sits really close to you, and she kind of leans in and she says, "You may not know this, but you're working for someone called Elizabeth Ravadun, and she's on the hunt for Peter Nazari. Peter and I used to be very close. He disappeared about a year ago. I haven't seen him in over a year. But I think I might know where he went."
Well, that information would definitely be helpful in me completing my job at this point.
She says, "I understand that, but I'm afraid that if you complete your job, Elizabeth is going to get to Peter, and I don't want that to happen."
Do you have any idea why Elizabeth is hunting him down?
Because Elizabeth thinks that he's trying to take over her job. In fact, she thinks he's trying to overthrow the entire corporation.
Do you know if he is trying that, or is that just something she believes?
She sits back and sort of thinks on that for a little while. And now we'll cut over to Lobath, who has made his way to the Gin Grove, to the Gin Grove district. And the Gin Grove district is a little bit It's certainly nowhere near Zhejiang in terms of high rent and quality and sort of corporate-y, but it's clearly, Gengrove is an old pharmaceutical company. They came up right around all the, you know, they made a lot of money when the death happened. They were doing anti-radiation stuff. So they're an old company, but they're not necessarily a hugely popular company. They've just kind of, they're just one of those things that have just always been there. So they're well off, but they're not a super sexy company. They're just a pharmaceuticals company that made a name on actually helping people, and now mostly specialize in recreational drugs for the corporate people, which is pretty standard now. It's just sort of what happens.
Got to have those uppers to keep everybody happy.
Exactly. And nobody ever got fired for hiring Gengrove. So Gengrove is there. It's big. It's monolithic. It's boring. And the Gengrove apartment complex is an older apartment complex. And you kind of get this if you ask around for directions or whatever. Or you can see it with your own eyes when you get close to it. It's actually quite run down, and it's pretty clear that nobody's actually in the Gengrove apartments anymore, and that probably whoever used to be there has been moved into something closer to the company, which is kind of in fashion now to house your workers inside of your compound. So in other words, it's pretty run down. But from the outside, it seems to be pretty much, there aren't any security people roaming around or anything like that. It's a rundown apartment building.
All right. Is there many people around? Am I going to have much trouble hiding out around the building?
No, there are really, it's nearly abandoned, and you get the sense that this is an area that people have more or less forgotten about.
All right. Well, I'm going to hide around the side or around the... Yeah, I guess it may be across the way so that I can watch anybody coming in or out of the building, and then see if I can get on the locals, on the network inside the building.
There is no network inside the building, or if there is, it's you're not detecting it. But given its state, you wouldn't be super surprised if there just wasn't one there.
All right.
But I get the impression that you got here pretty early, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, as you sit behind an abandoned vehicle, you do see an individual dressed fairly conservatively, typical employee kind of dress, like not a suit or anything, but professional looking. He approaches the building, kind of looks around, kind of puzzled. He doesn't appear to know where he's meant to go, and then he just kind of makes his way inside through the front door.
All right. Let's see. I guess I will follow him in. So let's do a stealth roll, try to follow him upstairs without him noticing. And I gotta see. I got a roll of 3, so I got a 12 stealth.
Okay, well, he's not really looking for people to be following him yet. So you get inside easily, and you're able to kind of catch sight of him turning in through one of the back doors, or the doors at the end of the hall on the right. So you can go to that door, peek through, and then you see him making his way sort of towards the back of the building. So, and he just keeps going towards the back of the building until he arrives at probably what used to be maybe a garage or maybe a storage room or something like that. It's super gutted out at this point, but it's just this big open space, and he goes into that, and then he just kind of sits down on a ledge and waits.
All right. Was there any information in the emails? So he was just getting the emails from Peter for Elizabeth?
Yazid was, yes.
Yazid, yeah. Was there anything else there, or did that seem like that was it? Just the email infiltration.
Let me look. Hold on. No, there was nothing else there. There was one email that I hadn't read yet, but it's just him, Yazid, replying, "Yes, I can be there tomorrow evening at 2100. I look forward to seeing you. Should I bring anything?" But she didn't respond to that.
All right. Let's see. Do I want to try to be an agent for Elizabeth for this? I don't even know. I don't have anything to pay him, so no, I don't think so. All right. Is there a good place? Another doorway, like by the front, that I can hide and wait for somebody else to show up.
So to see if anyone else comes through the front door, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you could go...
Actually, is there any other doors to the room that he's in that I can see?
Well, there's not exactly a door, but the far right corner from where you're standing, the entrance, from there, it's sort of diagonal across the room. The wall is pretty much crumbled out, so there is an entrance, although it's not a door, but it's certainly an opening into the room.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to, just find a good place to sit and wait for somebody else to show up. So, if I think I could get back around to towards that opening, or otherwise somewhere along the hallway entrance here to the main room, just so I can be close by to hear anything that happens too.
Make another stealth roll just to see how you can, where you get to.
All right, I got a 7, so that's a 16 stealth.
Okay, nice. So, you feel like you could probably circle around the perimeter of this open area and get back towards that sort of crumbly wall, if that's what you're looking to do. Or, I mean, it would be trivial to just go back out the main hall and just watch the front door for anyone to come in.
Yeah, kind of like the hiding spot by the crumbled wall. So I will, I think I'll take a position there.
Okay, so you kind of position yourself so that you can see the crumbled wall, and you position yourself, I'm assuming, so that you can still be hidden. So you hide behind a pile of sort of a desk and a filing cabinet and just old office equipment that someone had dumped there and never got carted away. So you hide out in this rubble, and you wait for about a good 15 minutes, and then from a dark corner across from where you are steps out a guy quite well dressed. He has a briefcase, and he steps into the room, and he appears to look directly at the pile of rubble that you are hiding behind. And then he kind of moves inside through the crumbled wall, and he looks at the guy on the ledge, and he says, "Yazid Faruna?" And the guy on the ledge stands up, and he says, "Yes, I was here waiting for Miss Ravadun. Are you with her?" And the guy says, yes, I have the payment that you were expecting." And Yazid says, "Oh, okay, I thought Miss Ravadun was going to deliver something. We had talked about something that she wanted to give me personally." And he says, the guy says, "I'm sorry she wasn't able to make it, but I have something for you." And he draws a pistol and fires at Yazid and kills him with one shot, blows his head right off. And Yazid falls to the ground. Then he turns toward your pile of rubble, and he just sort of stands there.
So he probably knows that I'm here. I'm going to stand up.
Okay.
And let myself be known and ask him who he is.
He says, "I would prefer to know who you were first."
I tell him I am also working for Elizabeth. And I was wondering what Yazid had to do with all this.
He says, "Yazid was an employee of Miss Ravadun's. She needed him dealt with due to some disciplinary action. It's really none of your concern."
I tell him that I've been investigating Peter, and I think his involvement is my concern.
The guy studies you, and he says, "How did you know to come here?"
Let's see, what do I tell him in this case? I think I'm gonna try to bluff and tell him that Elizabeth told me I should come and check this out.
Okay, yeah, give me a roll, a bluff roll, because you have bluff, right?
Yeah. 4, so that'll be a 17 bluff.
Nice, okay. Cool. So he says,
I say that Elizabeth told me I should come and make sure this goes down. But I need to know more information.
He smiles and he says, I should have known Miss Ravadun wouldn't even trust me. It's just like her. What do you need to know?
I'll start asking him how long he's worked for Elizabeth and what he knows about Peter.
He says, I've worked for Elizabeth, and he starts putting his pistol away now because he seems to have relaxed a whole lot. He's under the impression that you're the reinforcement. So he says, I've worked for Miss Ravadun for two, three years now, and I don't know who Peter is, but I was told to show up here and to dispose of Yazid, so that's what I've done. As you can see, you can tell her that the job is sufficiently taken care of, unless you want to examine the body yourself.
I'll ask him what's in the briefcase. Just because I'm curious. Or was that where the pistol came
from? No, the pistol came from his coat. So, the briefcase has not been opened at all yet. So he says, this was just backup data. It's stuff that Yazid gave to Elizabeth. I brought it here to dispose of it next to his body.
All right. I would tell him I'd like to take a look at it. See if it has anything to do with my investigation, and I tell him I will arrange the body after he's gone.
He says, okay, yeah, sure, and he hands you the briefcase and says, you be sure to tell Miss Ravadun that you did this part, right? I killed Yazid, but you're doing the data stuff.
Yes, I will. I will let her know that you did your job well.
Very well, and he takes his leave of you, giving you the briefcase.
All right.
And I think that's where we'll stop for tonight. Sid will get you back talking to Tina, and then check back in with Chai Wei and what remains of Yazid in the next episode.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.